Ian Davidson, the Honourable Ian Davidson. This is two draft bills. Two draft bills. The first one deals with the procedure that the president must follow when he or she receives or is about to receive a gift. As you know, at present, cabinet ministers and deputy ministers must obtain from the president his authority to accept gifts. The question that has arisen is, when the president receives a gift, who does he ask for permission to accept the gift? Now, Mr. Davidson has taken the initiative of drafting a bill to address this particular anomaly that exists in the Executive Members Ethics Act. It is before that committee that deals with private members' legislative proposals. That is the first one. The second one from Mr. Davidson deals with the question of whether elected public representatives should do business with government. Mr. Davidson has again submitted a draft bill to that committee in which he's making it illegal for elected public representatives to do business with government. There's a third matter that was laid before the same committee by Mr. Grelin of the Independent Democrats, the Honourable Mr. Grelin, which deals with funding or transparency in funding of political parties by the private sector. That's over and above the funding they receive from the IEC. Now, these three matters I'm putting on the table. The one that deals with funding is actually, this is my personal view, outside our mandate. However, Mr. Bapela, in his wisdom, he's now deputy minister, asks the Joint Ethics Committee if it has any views or recommendations or suggestions. So I put it to you. My own view is it's outside our mandate, and I think that's where it should stand. The other two matters are a little different. They do fall within our purview, and so perhaps there we can have a discussion and see how far we can go. Cola Barnard.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I would agree absolutely. I think that's totally outside the mandate of this committee. There are other entities that would go through that. But the other two, I would be very interested to have a discussion. I think they certainly do fall within the mandate, and I'm looking at it going forward. I would imagine that it would be possible for this committee to work as a joint committee with the private members committee in order to process those private members legislation proposals.
Chairperson, I also have to be in the other committee on the Code of Judicial Conduct and Regulation on Judges Disclosure. They are sitting. They're sitting in the National Assembly now. And now that you have a quorum, and now that we have voted, may I please leave and go and attend that committee? Thank you very much.
Mr. Fanamarova. There's an outstanding report that the registrar wants us to deal with.
The one that
yes. It's It's an outstanding report that deals with non-disclosure by certain members arising from the Auditor General's report. It'll take less than 5 minutes. The registrar has just reminded me so that we still have a quorum. Honourable members, when we dealt with this matter, as is usually the case, we sat behind closed doors. Now, the registrar tells me that our role with this report is to adopt it. And there were slum amendments to be made to it, and those amendments which came from you have been effected. And so our purpose today is to adopt the report, and flowing from that, it will go to through the normal channels, which is
for tabling
in either of the two houses or both. So all I'm going to ask you to do is tell me if you're ready to adopt and move there from. Peggy.
Honourable Chair, I don't know. I have just seen this report now. Are we not supposed to put some sort of a sanction if there's a breach?
Yes, there's been a sanction. Sanctions have been applied, yes. And the committee said, in the event that the sanction was, members would have to attend workshops. If they failed, the other sanction kicked in. Okay? Now the report addresses that. Yes?
Okay. Yeah, well, the committee agreed that as part of this report, the proposed sanction will be that members attend compulsory workshops. There were 3 dates allocated, so we gave members the opportunity at 3 different dates to attend, and there were some members who requested, who are out of the country, who requested one-on-one meetings. Not all members have attended the workshops, so that is the outstanding matter for the committee to consider. I'm of the view, I spoke to the chairperson, and I think we should give members one more opportunity. Remember that it was just before the recess period in September, and things were quite tight. So I think that we should give members one final opportunity to do the workshop, and then failing which, then the committee can reconsider if there should be additional sanctions to those people who don't comply with that decision of the committee.
But I just want to check what was the initial decision from this committee. Was that they attend a workshop how many times? You said one.
Once.
So then you mean that you must then go back and sit down and amend that one and pose further sanctions if they're failing to attend? Because it was a decision of a meeting in a quorum of saying once.
Yes. That's right.
Chairperson, I understand what she says, but my question is, were these people written letters individually?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Just to adopt the report, and then those conditions you set will kick in for those who didn't attend the workshop. Yes, ma'am.
Chair, I want to move for the adoption of the report.
Chairperson, I think I agree, concur with that. But the sanctions must kick in.
Sure. Shamayit, are you agreeing?
I'm agreeing, Chair.
Okay. So the report is adopted. Okay. Thank you. Yes, great sigh of relief. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Honourable members, to come back to the 2 draft bills by Mr. Davidson, please be informed, though, that I took the initiative of consulting with the Ministry of Justice because this matter arose from way back, okay? And the Ministry of Justice had informed the public protector at the time that she raised this matter that they were in the process of drafting amendments to the Executive Members Ethics Act, okay? So the Ministry of Justice is seized with this matter, all right? So just please bear that in mind. I was approached by the chairperson of the Committee on Private Members' Legislative Proposals, and I made that point to him. I said to him, look, the Ministry of Justice is seized with the matter. Well, I suppose we can all table our bills, and then what happens? And my suggestion to him at the time was, why not wait for the Ministry's amended bill, amendment bill, and then take it from there, because then it'll be referred to the appropriate committee of parliament, which may be this committee. And at the time, I thought he had agreed with me. So it would appear that they are looking for guidance from us as to how to proceed with Mr. Davidson's two bills.
Chairman, I also serve on that committee, the Private Members Bill, and if I understand it, whenever we receive a proposal from a member, you consult with a relevant portfolio committee, and that committee then waits for an informal comment from the committee of van wie hulle dit gevraat, commentaar gevraat. So I think just procedurally, they're just waiting for us for a comment or an opinion on the matter. And maybe we should give that to them, and it's up to that committee then to make the decision whether they should proceed or not, depending on, you know, the matter being with a public protector.
My suggestion is that because the Ministry of I don't know when they will table their amendment bill. We're not able to say, look, hurry up. I mean, then we'd be interfering with their authority in the same way that they can't say to us, listen, hurry up, we want you to pass that bill. But they are seized with the matter, and while it's the right of any member to submit a legislative proposal, I'm just a little wary about it this time because it might really muddy the water, and I in no way try to minimize or negate Mr. Davidson's efforts. I haven't even looked at his draft bills myself, but that's just my own personal view, Mr. Mlangi.
Chairperson, my problem is time. And I don't think we can meaningfully and exhaustively discuss these two bills now. I think we need some time. Obviously, I mean, there's only a few more days left before we go on recess. And I honestly think that we cannot discuss this matter. It needs a thorough discussion. We need to take proper discussions on this, I mean, proper decisions on this matter. Take, for example, the question of the state president, whether he should declare and to whom is he supposed to declare, or whether he must get permission, first of all, before he can receive it. When he goes on a visit overseas, wherever, president always takes a gift for his counterpart. And when he's outside, he also receives a gift. Are we saying he must say, no, wait a minute, you cannot give me this gift. I must, first of all, get permission from my government. Now, it's an untenable position. That is why I think we need some time to discuss this matter. Obviously, we can't discuss it now. I think we'll have to postpone these two bills for some time next year. Thank you.
Yeah, you've actually articulated my particular difficulty. I also put myself in that situation and said, well, there he is now, particularly the president of China or the prime minister, handing him a gift, and he says, hold on a second, I need to phone someone. Well, yeah, it's but look, the point is correctly made by Mr. Mlangeni, and for that reason he's proposing that we delay discussion. Ms. Barnard, followed by Mashamita.
Yeah, Chair, I think it goes, obviously, protocol dictates that sort of issue, but I'm quite sure one's talking much further about companies that will attempt, through presenting a gift to the President, to ensure that the country looks favorably on them when granting various contracts. I mean, that's obviously what it's about. For example, if Rolls-Royce, if they decided they wanted to come and build here, they wanted special tax deals, they just had to present him with one, and then he's obliged to do so. Now, that is not in any official capacity, at an official function, though. I don't think anyone's looking to humiliate the president, but it is to ensure, and we're not speaking about an individual, we're speaking about the position, that this needs to be addressed. We have had issues, certainly, where certain high-ranking officials have been presented with a vehicle and had to ask permission, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an oversight role, and the legislation should do that. And I think we need to go through it very carefully, line by line, and look at all the implications before we give a report through.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I concur with the two speakers spoke in front of me. But I just want to take it further by proposing that because earlier on, Chairperson, you indicated that the minister is stuck with this matter, maybe just to go back to him once more and check with the minister what are the challenges by him stacking. Thank you.
So I don't hear anyone else saying that we are ready to take any position. We need time. All right, fine. Okay. Then I will convey that matter to the chair of that committee. I will also consult with the Ministry of Justice and see how far they are without in any way imposing on their authority. And that being the case, that's it. Thank you so much, all of you. Meeting's adjourned.